I guess I just try to think more practically oriented, and I'll throw a few situations and see what you would do. Maybe I should ask first, does PR influence your choice in these ER-positive patients?
It does, although, of course, I was a little bit confused after hearing the presentation of the International Breast Cancer Study Group, where apparently they didn't find any relationship between the efficacy of letrozole, at least, and PR expression. So that's quite puzzling. But anyway, there are many other data that indicate that these ER-positive, PGR-negative tumors are less endocrine sensitive. So,
you know, there have been these models that have tried to estimate what the best long-term risk is. But as far as I know, they don't take also into account the side effects profile. So in addition to looking at relapse rate, you also have the consideration of endometrial cancer, deep vein thrombosis versus potential effects on bone, although it seems like now we're getting a handle on being able to control those. Is that something else you're factoring into your decision?
Oh, yes. It is very important. So clearly, before making a decision about endocrine treatment, adjuvant endocrine treatment, I'm asking a really in-depth evaluation of, you know, lipids, cardiovascular status, bone health. All of these factors need to be factored into the decision process.
So, 70-year-old woman, ER-positive, PR-positive tumor, who's got two positive nodes. In general, let's put aside the reimbursement cost issue. She says to you, okay, tell me what you think I should take to start therapy. What would you suggest?
Well, you know, already the age is an indication that there you will clearly need to investigate potential comorbidities. So this is clearly a woman where I'm going to investigate the family history, look at lipid levels, ask a bone densitometry, ask whether or not she has arthralgia already. Make sure that there is no history of deep venous thrombosis, embolism in the family. Perhaps even go make sure that this woman is really fit, is moving, is active, you know.
Assuming all that, nothing pops up there.
So if she's in very good health, very active, you know, very fit, and I don't have to worry too much about bone and about cardiovascular disease, I probably start her on tamoxifen for 2 years. Even though she has two positive nodes. Now, starting with four positive nodes, I will be then more reluctant to go for tamoxifen. But the 1 to 3 nodes is still an intermediate risk group if you do not have HER2 overexpression. And so because you have this profile that indicates a pretty good likelihood that she will respond well to tamoxifen, I would start with tamoxifen and go after that for an AI. And, you know, this woman can still have a long life expectancy. So
if we were able to pull off an international patterns of care study where we have a substantial number of oncologists in the United States and investigators and substantial numbers internationally, I'm going to bet that you're going to see a big difference in terms of U.S. versus non-U.S. and how they answer that case.
I agree. You are probably right, although even in the U.S. I see the controversy. I know colleagues who are very in favor of the sequencing strategy in selected patients and others who are really, you know, in favor of AI and they have killed tamoxifen, they don't use it anymore.
This concludes the second CD. For a Meet the Professors session with Dr. Peter Ravdin, please turn to the third CD.